KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
It's cloudy and 32 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be mostly cloudy here today with a high around 45. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. In the news, in a report in the Daily Nonpareil, every southwest Iowa county has lost population since 2010's census. The paper cited new data released Thursday morning by the U.S. Census Bureau. Pottawatomie and Harrison counties were also among those counties estimated to have lost the largest number of residents over the past 3 years. Most of the state's growth was centered around urban areas, primarily in central and eastern Iowa. As a whole, Iowa saw its population increase 43,559 people since 2010, and it remained the 30th most populous state. However, only 29 of Iowa's 99 counties gained population during the three-year span. Pottawatomie County joined Woodbury County as only two of Iowa's 10 largest counties to lose population since 2010. Those two counties also contain principal cities for the state's only two metropolitan areas west of the I-35 corridor. Dallas County, which contains many of the booming suburbs just west of Des Moines, was once again Iowa's fastest-growing county, seeing its population increase by 12.9%. Since 2010, it ranks 17th among all counties nationwide. The entire Omaha Council Bluffs metro area gained 29,801 people, a 3.4% growth since the 2010 census, making it the nation's 60th largest with 895,151 residents. By and large, growth was associated with urban areas and neighboring counties. On the western side of the state, only a handful of rural counties, including Ida, Crawford, Union, and Sioux, saw population growth. News time is 8:02.
You're home most of the time just watching television, and you don't have any problems hearing the TV, so you don't need to have your hearing tested.
At family functions, everyone pretty much leaves you alone anyway, so you don't need a hearing evaluation.
At the doctor's office, your wife asks all the questions, and she'll help you get all the medications right once you get home. You don't need to hear everything the doctor says.
When everyone at coffee is laughing and having a good time telling jokes, it doesn't bother you. You just laugh along with them so they don't think you didn't get it. The fact that you missed the punchline is okay. You don't like dumb jokes anyway, and you definitely don't need to get your hearing evaluated.
During your last performance evaluation, you didn't get the raise you expected. Your boss says he's tired of repeating instructions, and if things don't improve, your job might be in jeopardy. Maybe it is time to get your hearing checked.
This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're tired of missing out on quality time with your family, of missing the punchlines with your friends, and maybe even falling behind at work, there is hope. Take control of your life. Call today for a hearing evaluation. ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll. Hear better, live better.
Well, at least three people have been injured in a residential fire in western Iowa. Authorities say the three were hospitalized Thursday night for burns. Two people also received lacerations. The Daily Nonpareil says the fire was reported a little after 8 p.m. Thursday on the east side of Council Bluffs. The principal of the Glenwood Community High School has resigned. The Omaha World Herald says Principal Shane Steffens cited a decline in personal health and failure to meet goals as his reasons. His resignation was announced during a special school board meeting earlier this week. Steffens is the second principal in less than a year to resign from the school. Superintendent Devin Embray said Thursday that Steffens will work through the end of this year. The Glenwood Community School District has begun an internal and external search for a new principal. Embry said that school officials hope to find a new candidate by mid to late April. Applicants will be narrowed to 3 to 5 finalists. Steffens, who was hired in April of 2013, replaced former principal Kerry Newman, who had resigned after reaching an agreement with the school district. As part of the agreement, the district stopped Newman's termination, paid her $40,000, and allowed her to obtain copies of some of her work. The Glenwood School Board had considered terminating her contract because of several allegations, including an inappropriate relation with a district employee. The school board later voted to accept Newman's resignation. Citing the need to spend more time with his family, Mills County Attorney Eric Hansen has announced that he will not be seeking re-election this year. The Omaha World Herald says Miller's daughter was very ill last night and had to undergo a bone marrow, had to undergo a bone marrow transplant. Miller said that experience left him emotionally drained to the point where he didn't have the energy to participate in a contested election. Hansen was hired as an assistant county attorney in February of 2013. He was promoted to full-time assistant in 2006 and became county attorney in 2011. In Mills County, Patricia McSorley, an assistant county attorney, and Ashley Kissel, both Republicans, are running for Hansen's position. Police in Council Bluffs say they're looking for a vehicle that crashed into a home and then left the scene early Thursday morning. Authorities say at around 12:20 a.m., Council Bluffs police officers were called to 803 South 13th Street, where an unidentified vehicle struck the side of a home, causing $10,000 damage. Police say the driver had attempted to turn left onto 8th from South 13th Street and lost control, left the roadway, and struck the home. A witness said the vehicle then drove away. Police say the vehicle is described as a small two-door, dark-colored car that has heavy front-end damage. Part of the driver's side headlight was left at the scene of the collision. In an update to our stories that we brought you earlier this week here on KJAN, Atlantic Police Chief Steve Green yesterday said the drivers of two vehicles involved in a collision early Thursday morning at the intersection of Highway 71 and 22nd Street here in Atlantic were transported to the hospital for treatment of non-life-threatening injuries. Green said a pickup driven by Jason Jordahl of Atlantic was traveling north on Highway 71 at around 7:30 a.m. and slowing for a vehicle that had stopped and was waiting to turn left onto 22nd Street, when his vehicle was hit from behind by a van driven by Chelsea Adams of Atlantic. Adams was cited for failure to maintain control and reduce speed. Damage amounted to $9,000. And an accident Wednesday afternoon just south of the intersection of 10th and Chestnut Streets in Atlantic resulted in 16-year-old Caleb Kelly of Atlantic being sent to the hospital for treatment of minor injuries. Chief Green said that Kelly was traveling south in a two-door Saturn at around 2:17 p.m. when he suffered from a medical issue that caused him to jerk the steering wheel to the right. The car then hit a utility pole guy wire before flipping onto its left side and ultimately ending up on its roof. There were no citations issued. Authorities in Shelby County yesterday morning released more information about a large fire that took place Wednesday evening. As we had reported, crews from Kirkman, Harlan, Irwin, and Defiance Fire Departments responded to the blaze, which was at 1541 Redwood Road at around 5:35 p.m. Wednesday. Sheriff deputies and emergency management officials also responded to the scene. Lynn Gaskill, who's the fire chief in Irwin and had incident command, said they knew immediately that that was going to be a big fire.
Well, with the wind conditions the way it was and the size of the fire, yeah, we realized right away that we had our hands full and it was going to take a lot of manpower to knock this down.
Winds at the time of the ignition taken from the Irwin weather station were out of the south-southwest, gusting up to near 40 miles per hour, with peak winds during the fire attack that is recorded at 51 miles per hour. Gaskill says he never dealt with winds that high before.
Not during a fire, we haven't. That was pretty strong. He couldn't hardly stand up.
Gaskill said that additional assistance was requested for water tankers and grass trucks from Manila Fire Department, Manning Fire Department, and Kimbleton. Additional help from local farmers with discs arrived on the scene as well throughout the evening.
Yeah, we had, I think there was four farmers come in with tractors and discs. And that was a big asset. I don't know if we could have got it stopped without them.
The fire ended up traveling 1.7 miles across 1800th Street, where fire departments attempted to hold it at bay. And as a precaution, 14 area residents or thereabout were asked to evacuate to a shelter in Harlan.
Yeah, I think a lot of it just to make them aware of what was going on and be prepared to go in case we really had to start moving them out.
Those residents were contacted by the Shelby County Code Red system from the Emergency Management Office. Shelby County Public Health and the City of Harlan then opened and staffed a shelter at the request of the Shelby County EMA. After the fire was contained, the units had been called back out at around 10:30 p.m. Wednesday for a flare-up. Roads in the area during the firefighting efforts were temporarily closed, and Shelby County Secondary Roads crews assisted with staffing roadblocks. Wives of the Irwin firefighters and others in the Irwin community also set up a canteen at the Irwin Community Center to provide food and water for the firefighters who were on the scene for well over 4 hours. The cause of that fire was under investigation, but the initial estimate was there were more than 300 acres that were scorched. No injuries were reported. Taking a look at our world headlines at this hour, planes searching for Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 have spotted objects in the Indian Ocean today after the search area was shifted 680 miles to the northeast. A ship has been dispatched to investigate the sighting, but officials say it could be tomorrow before it reaches the spot. The new search area is still quite huge, measuring some 123,000 square miles, or bigger than the state of New Mexico. The latest body recovered from the mud and debris that devastated the town of Oso in Washington State was that of a 4-month-old girl. The discovery has pushed the official death toll to 17, but at least 9 other bodies have been located and not yet recovered. 90 people are listed as missing, and officials say they expect to raise the number of dead significantly today. Meanwhile, five people injured in the disaster remain in a Seattle hospital, including a five-month-old boy who is in critical condition. The White House says the new health insurance markets have surpassed the goal of 6 million signups, but a new poll suggests public support for the health care law is at its lowest level since the legislation was passed 4 years ago. The Associated Press GFK survey finds that 26% of those surveyed support the Affordable Care Act. Impressions of how well the launch of the insurance exchanges has gone remain low, but have improved from December. News time is 8:11.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry.
Pardon?
What?
I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. Even though there are many ways to politely tell someone you didn't hear them, not being able to understand what people are saying to you is frustrating for everyone. Because hearing loss happens gradually, many times you and those around you develop coping behaviors to keep the communication flowing. Speaking louder, lip reading, and eventually the frequent request to repeat. But because those behaviors don't address the real source of frustration, your hearing loss, it can become a hearing problem for everyone involved. The best way to avoid the frustration is to recognize the real culprit and to take action. A hearing evaluation is the first step. Even if what you're experiencing is a very mild hearing loss and hearing aids are not needed, knowing what's going on allows you to stay on top of your hearing loss. No one wants a conversation that revolves around,
excuse me?
I'm sorry.
Pardon?
I didn't hear you. What did you say?
Call today. ASI with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
And taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning here on KJAN. Mary Ann Hartman Coughlin, age 81, of Elliott, died Saturday at the Montgomery County Hospital. A massive Christian burial service for Mary Ann Coughlin will be today at 10 o'clock at Our Lady of Grace Catholic Church in Griswold. The Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Esther Spangler, age 102, of Guthrie Center, died Tuesday at the Guthrie County Hospital. Funeral services for Esther Spangler will be today at 10:30 at the Adair United Methodist Church. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Adair has arrangements. Darlene Arnold, age 83, of Harlan, died Sunday at Murtu Medical Center. Services for Darlene Arnold will be today at 2 o'clock at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. LaVon Oliver, age 96, of Coon Rapids, died Wednesday. Funeral services for LaVon Oliver will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Coon Rapids. Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids has arrangements. Mary Byers, age 82, of Atlantic, died March 22nd. Funeral services for Mary Byers will be tomorrow at 10:30 at St. Timothy's Catholic Church, south of Cumberland. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. Bruce Yarger, age 87, of Atlantic, died Sunday. Funeral services for Bruce Yarger will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Saints Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. Keith Kelderman, age 76, of Manning, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Keith Kelderman will be on Saturday at 11 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Bernie Eggers, age 89, of Atlantic, died March the 10th in Elkhorn. Memorial graveside services for Bernie Eggers will be held tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the Graceland Cemetery in Avoca. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Lois Anderson, age 87, of Bridgewater, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Lois Anderson will be Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Bridgewater United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has arrangements. Harriet Goshorn, age 92, of Urbandale, died March the 16th. Graveside services for Harriet Goshorn will be held Saturday at 2 o'clock in the Shelby Cemetery. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Mickey Jolene Kaufman, age 62, of Panora, died Thursday. A celebration of life gathering for Mickey Kaufman will be held Saturday at 7 p.m. at the Owl's Nest in Panora. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Mary Haverman, age 98, of Carroll, died Thursday. A massive Christian burial service for Mary Haverman will be on Monday at 10:30 at the Holy Spirit Catholic Church in Carroll. A Sharp Funeral Home in Carroll has the arrangements. Jeff Reisberg, age 47, of Audubon, died Thursday at his home. A massive Christian burial service for Jeff Reisberg will be on Monday at 10:30 at the St. Augustine Catholic Church in Halber. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has arrangements. Kenneth Erickson, age 53, of Kimbleton, died Wednesday. Memorial services for Kenneth Erickson will be on Monday at 11 o'clock at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Bill Harry, age 89, of Orient, died March 23rd. Funeral services for Bill Harry will be on Monday at 1:30 at the Orient United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Niles Jewell, age 94, of Omaha and formerly of Audubon, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Niles Jewell will be on Monday at 2 o'clock at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Elsie Murphy, age 98, formerly of Atlantic, died Tuesday. A massive Christian burial service for Elsie Murphy will be this coming Tuesday at 1 o'clock at the Saints Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. And Olivine Lynn, age 93, of Audubon, died Wednesday at the Friendship Home. Private family services are planned for Olivine Lynn. The Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon is in charge of arrangements. The news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.